You know, we're not alone in this. He's with us. You can enjoy your day knowing He's with you. Thank you, Father. Just a few more moments of this. We're in no hurry tonight. Let's just do this. Let's just lift up our hands. This isn't just for these people. It's for all of us. But don't wait for, or don't make Him have to call you out to receive it. Just receive it now. He's here because He can be. There's a reason. And the presence here is to cross us over a line. Maybe you're at a line with something. It could be even your finances, or it could be your past holding on to you, or unanswered prayer, unanswered dreams. Thank you, Father. There is something here tonight for us. This isn't a strength that comes from our will. This is power from heaven. Father, we expect things to come to pass. We expect our callings to come to pass. The things You spoke to us in our prayer time, the dreams You've given us, we expect them to come to pass. So, Father, we just receive from You right now. I'm telling you, I can call out many of you right now. I see it on so many people right now that this is the time. There's a line being crossed tonight. Getting to that place where you're not building your dream or your ministry or your calling, to get to that place where you're not doing things for yourself, but just for Him because He told you to. That's that place of death. But in that place, you seem powerless to make your future come to pass. How's that going to happen? The further I got into God, the less power I had in myself to make things come to pass. It's not your or my job to make our dreams come to pass or to make a way for our calling or for our ministry. It's not our purpose to pursue. It's our purpose to pursue Him. And on that path, you lose the power, and sometimes you lose the sight of where you're going. But don't ever lose the hope. The world needs you. Your family needs you. So, Father, tonight we just receive from You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. When Abraham was given a dream, He said, "You're going to be the father of many nations." He attempted to make his own way. That's where Ishmael came from. Ishmael is not the devil's doing, it's man's doing, trying to accomplish God's will in their own power. But it wasn't until Abraham's body was dead that God gave him his dream. And then something funny happened. God asked him to take that dream, whatever your dream is, you know. In the old days, I'd hear many people say, not here, where I came from, you know, I'm called the fivefold. But how many know that everyone's called? We all have a place in the body. And people would line up and say, well, this is how you make it come to pass. This is what you need to do. This is how you make your dreams come to pass. And you learn to live a life of doing things that you want when you want. And not doing things that you don't like. Now, I don't know about you, but just a few hours of being with God, I found out you do a lot of things that you don't like in obeying Him. So he had Abraham take his son, who was at least 18 years old. Some believe he was 33 years old. He took Isaac up to the altar. Isaac laid down of his own will, at the will of his father, at the request of his father. And you know the story. Abraham was willing to kill that dream because he knew that God, if he had to, would resurrect it. It's a hard road. No, that's not true. Let me say this a better way. If you only make choices in your life that feel good, that satisfy, that feeds yourself, then it is a hard road when he asks you to put something to death. But when day by day you and I live a path, a life, not after ourselves, not pursuing ourselves, our dreams, not holding our natural man's desires, then it's not hard to lay your dreams down. It's life. It's what you do. But letting your dreams down is not just saying, okay, God, it's in your hands. It's a practice. An everyday practice of not pursuing opportunities, not being moved by frustration or opportunities. It's a everyday practice of pursuing Him and obeying Him, where you actually lose the power to make it come to pass. Because there's something interesting about God. Whatever we receive from Him has to be received, not earned. The flesh, the soul of the flesh, the man of the flesh wants to earn its position with God because it gives its power from that. But this walk that you and I are on takes you down a path where you give up the right to make your future or your dreams come to pass. You give up the power, the ability. It's a process where you make choices sometimes every day for seasons. I remember when I had been obedient to follow God with Brother Norville, and I traveled with him, and it was a constant, it was work, you know, and you know, you don't get to do what you want to do when you want to do it. And I went to go preach. My season of traveling had finished, and I went to go preach in Hopeville, California. And I'd preached, you know, for years, but this was my meeting. They asked me to come, and just for Sunday morning. Well, during the worship time, intercession fell on me. I felt just, I started weeping and weeping, and when I stood up, I began to pray for people after, during when we had me preach, and we had miracles. It wasn't like worked up. It was just easy. The miracles flowed. We had cancers and blind eyes, and I think I was 20, mid-20s, 26 maybe. And it was just miracles, and it was so easy. And we stayed over. We ended up having a little revival there, just meeting after meeting, and the miracles just stayed every night, every day, every night. And finally, when I had to leave and go to Texas to preach, I remember telling God, this is it, I've graduated, it's my time. Alan Taylor Ministries International, it's time to get started. And you get that taste of, maybe you've had that taste where, oh, He can use me. Oh, yes. I got that taste. And then he sat me down and talked to me. Said, now. So he told me. He said, now this is just a taste of what I have for you. But now I want you to lay it down and go serve Brother Norville some more. And I knew what he was asking, because I had found a place of my calling, an avenue with the miracles, but I was full of character issues. And you know, receiving from God is by receiving, but the devil works on your flesh. And those character issues needed time. When I was 18 years old, I prayed for a boy that was deaf in one ear, and he got healed, and it wasn't soon I was preaching. They had me in ministry, and I remember being so frustrated because people respected me for my anointing, or the anointing that was on me, I'm sorry. The anointing that was there. But I could tell they weren't respecting me. And I remember thinking, well, this, I want them to respect me, you know. And I realized that takes time. To grow up, to mature, to gain wisdom. Some things take time, you know. But I wanted to be respected as a man of character as much as a man of anointing. So when he told me that he wanted me to go serve Brother Norville some more, at that moment, I had to make a choice, because that anointing would have stayed. And I could have started my ministry, and probably by now I already would have failed. He'll ask you to let things go that you have a right to keep. To let go of the power of your future, to be safe in His arms without being in charge, without having the ability to fix it. There's no safer place than that place. Moses, his mama kept him hid, because all the little Israel boys were supposed to be turned over and killed. And it says his mama kept him as long as she could. And then she put him in a basket and let him go down a river. Talk about putting something in the hands of God. See, do you understand? Before your calling comes to pass, you have to let it die. Let the dream die, the power die for you to make it happen, so that God can give it back to you. She let that little basket go. It floated down the river, ended up at the right house. And wasn't it amazing that now she got to be the nanny and raise her kid? That's what happens when you trust Him and follow Him. Whatever you don't let die, God cannot resurrect. Man, I remember sitting down with a pastor when I was 19 years old, and I said, yeah, I want to walk in the room and people just take notice because of the power of God that's on me. See, those type of character issues where you look to the anointings and the presence of God and the power of God as a way of getting respect or self-worth, those have to die. He does not want your calling to fulfill you. He's jealous. He wants to fulfill you. Our ministries, our callings are all what we do. It's serving Him. It's an act of service. Service without reward. Can you imagine living your life serving without reward? That's what He wants from you. That whatever I do for my brother here, whatever I do for my good friend Johnny, my brother, whatever I do for him, I need to do it to serve him, not to get anything from him. Now watch this. I need to do this to serve him, God, not to get anything from him. See? And that's that place of death. That is faith. That whatever He has for me, whatever calling, whatever ministry, whatever business, whatever my place in the gospel is, it's not earned. But it does take work. When we went through our first financial giant and we followed him and we were down to zippo, zero. And I remember feeling like I was in the corner. And I call it him Jehovah Sneaky. Because he makes you feel safe. Maybe you felt this. He puts his loving arms around you and you're in the shadow of his wings. And he coddles you and you're safe. You're in your prayer closet. You're in your worship time and you're safe, and then all of a sudden, it's like he leaves, and you're naked. You were safe, and now you don't feel safe. Ever been there? It's like, and I remember when he did that to me, he got me to this place where he surrounded me with his love. He surrounded me with his love and made me feel safe. I felt good and safe and warm fuzzies, and I wasn't striving or fighting. I was just praying and worshiping. But while I was doing that, he was removing my security ropes, you know. Your soul likes to have security ropes, little things of, well, if that doesn't work out, this will work out. Plan Bs and Cs and Ds, you know. And he began to pop these things off of me. But I didn't feel it because I was feeling warm and fuzzy because he was loving on me. And then one day he wanted me to grow up a little bit. You know, stand on my own in faith in him. So what did he do? He went like this. He just cuddled with me. I love you, I love you. He loves me. And He walked me into a place of financial finances where I had to face a giant. And if you asked me, I never would have thought I could face that giant. And then he did this to me. He went, boom, and he walked over here. And I went, oh, I'm naked. I'm alone. I got nothing. And if you've prayed for long, that prayer walk will take you to a place of loneliness like you've never felt before. But you're not alone. See, your natural emotions are alone because they became powerless. How many have been there? You've been stripped. And I remember saying to myself, where's Alan? Where's the guy that used to be able to fix it? Where is he? I said, God, what am I going to do? I don't know how this is going to work. I'm not going to make it. I got 2 weeks and we're going to lose everything. What's going to happen? Now, I didn't walk on there on my own. That's presumption. He led me to that fight. That's victory. I remember feeling the depths of that loneliness, the depths of failure. And he spoke to me and said, why are you acting like you've lost? You haven't even fought yet. I mean, I still had 2 weeks and I was acting, my emotions are acting like I failed. He just said, just walk through it and watch what I'll do. And I remember looking at myself and saying, phew. It is so, I wanted to resurrect the Alan that could fix things. But it seemed like it was more work to resurrect him than it was just to give up. And that's when I gave up. And we just walked through and we made it. Now I listened to Gary's tapes. I confessed. But I walked through it. See? You have to walk through things. So what he did was he did this. And when I walked through it, I walked over to this new place. And I felt the warm fuzzies. And lovey. And oh, life was good. I prayed and worshipped. And while I was doing that, he started to pull these things more. Who knew there was more? And after a little while, he went, whoosh. And I did it again. And you know, he does that to me every 6 months, every couple of years, every year. Because he's trying to guide me to this place called the high call. The high call is not a place of pride. It's not an earned place. It's not a free place either. The road to the high call is paved with tests and trials. The road to the high call is paved with decision after decision, choice after choice, of not doing what you want to do, but doing what He wants you to do. You know, when you get on that path, don't judge yourself so hard. Can I prophesy for a minute? Quit judging yourself so hard. If you judge yourself as failing, you're not looking at yourself the way He's looking at you. I'm shocked how much He loves me. I'm shocked or I've been shocked. I'm starting to accept it now. It's okay to accept that He loves you. It's okay to accept that He believes in you. I'm shocked when He provides for us. Anytime He provides for us, I think, what? Not in a, like, I can't believe this happened. But to receive from Him, I had to get past looking at my flesh. He promotes people for different reasons than the world does. I want to go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13. Don't be in a hurry. Pastor Dave told me one time, how many hear Pastor Dave's voice when the Holy Ghost says stuff? Yeah. I do sometimes. He said, Alan, if you take a millionaire, you take away all his money, a guy who earned $1 million, you know what he'll do? He'll go make another million. Do you know that the most valuable ministry asset you have for your calling, whatever that might be, it's how much you know Him and love Him and obey Him. Because you take that wherever you go. It's in you. It's not an outward thing, it's in you. First Corinthians chapter 12 is talking about the gifts. Now the gifts, every gift you read here is in the Old Testament as well. Every gift is in the Old Testament. They raised the dead. They healed the sick. They prophesied. They spoke for God. Every gift of power, I guess, is a better way of saying that. Every move of God. Elijah used to fly around, disappear, translated all the time. Ran with the horses. But then in chapter 13, there's something that has not existed for the body or the church or children of God until Jesus died and was resurrected. And that's love. There is a love here in chapter 13 that did not exist on this earth. Jesus had it, but it wasn't available to anyone until He died and was resurrected. Though I speak with tongues of man and angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, my take on this is this. If you do your job for the body of Christ, for God, and the gifts operate, because the gifts will operate like in the Old Testament if you make them. The Old Testament, they were They were not born again. But God still showed up. But this love, this is a new authority for God to work on the earth. A vessel of love. If I do my job and it's allowing the gifts to do it, but it's not because I have grown in love, then I'm just making noise. The flesh desires to serve God, but the flesh will never want to die. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. I had a man, I went up to Canada to see my family, and there was a guy that came and I ran into him. He said, "Alan Taylor, how are you doing?" I said, I'm good. My brain was, you know, trying to figure out who he was. And I was going to all the places I've lived and all the places I preached. And man, I've heard you're doing good. And you're up here, what are you, visiting your family? Yeah. How long have you been gone now? Probably 13, 14 years. And wow, so good to have you back. We love you. Thank you. I love you too. My brain was just going, I recognized the face, but I could not place him, and my heart couldn't place him. So there was no connection, because your heart can place people if you connect with them. He said, "Why don't you come over to our house this weekend? We're going to have a big barbecue. Come over, you and me and my wife, and we'll have a great big barbecue." And then my brain caught up and placed him. He was a minister that didn't like me, wasn't nice to me, wasn't mean to me, was just indifferent to me. And so now I'm confused. I'm like, what? I don't want to go have a barbecue with you. I don't want to see my family. I didn't say that, you know. But. And as I was trying to think how to weasel out without being mean, I thought, well, maybe he's just nice. He said, "Yeah, me and my wife are doing really good. We're not in ministry anymore. But we're doing really good. Our business is really prospering. We're in a business where you get people to buy things, and then if they buy it off of you, you get money for that." And then my brain went, oh, now you don't like me. You're just trying to get me so I can sign up. And there was an agenda behind the niceness. I had another old friend call me on the phone. It's like, you know, Brother Alan, God told me to call you because I want to sign you up for this deal and we can make lots of money. And then you don't have to take up offerings, and God, you can support your ministry. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. I remember driving down the road to my house on the phone with this guy, a man that I respected and still respect, but not as much. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "Do you think he loves you?" And he was saying to me, that man isn't making this call because he loves you. He's making this call because he's trying to get you to do something for him. So much ministry is done, like a good friend said, loving myself through loving you. So much ministry is built with man's ability. I am a prophet. Come to my meeting. Being pursued, ever been pursued by a prophet? pursued by a pastor, pursued by a minister, striving, trying to make something come to pass? Do you ever have those conversations when there's an agenda behind what they're saying? Have you ever sat in a chair while a preacher preached and the agenda? I used to be able to, because I was in so many services, I'd sit there and I'd go, oh, offering's going to be in about 5 minutes. Because they'd have the right word to stir up the desire for giving. It's amazing. You can tell, it's like, there it is, all that niceness. Now, I'm okay with taking up offerings and that, you know. But it was the agenda was there to get their money, not to love on the people. That agenda is in all of us. I'm going to do this so God will promote me. I'm going to do this so God will bless me. I'm going to do this so that it will create a way for my calling to come to pass. Don't be afraid of letting go of your future and trusting Him with it. Trusting Him with it doesn't mean you sit. I remember one lady came up to me and said, "You prophesied to me that I would do this and do that. And it's been 15 years and it didn't come to pass." I was like, well, maybe a lot of good prophet. I said, you know, God prophesied to you, but you have something to do with it. You have to walk into it. Prophesying your future is to give you courage and hope that if you keep walking, you'll get there. It doesn't remove you from the responsibilities of facing the life of death, of letting go. Verse 3. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing." He's simply saying that if I accomplish a great work for God in my own ability or by His gifts, and it's not because of love. See, there is a nature in you that's perfect. The nature that's from heaven. It's you. God took me out of Alan Taylor and placed me with a nature, a beauty of light. And I can let that nature, with the help of the Holy Ghost, overtake my whole world and the authority that God uses is love. A love that never existed before Jesus, and a love that was impossible before you were born again. That love, developed love, is the authority that God wants to use. The gifts are just a definition broken down of how the Holy Ghost operates. But they define the Holy Spirit's operations. I don't want to be tied into one gift. Yeah, I'm the prosperity. I have an anointing for prosperity. I have an anointing for this, you know. I want to be what I call a Renaissance preacher. That means whatever the Holy Ghost wants to do, I want to be there to do it. Whoever's in front of me, if it's a broken body, a broken heart, if it's a financial situation, if whatever it may be, I want to allow the Holy Ghost to be able to touch them. Because you're... this place of promotion that he's pushing us to across that line? It's I don't know what the word is when you two things mean the opposite, but you have to go there. It's not you, but it is you. But it's not because of you, but it's because of things you did. But we don't get to take credit. Pride. Well, pride and love don't exist together. See, I can stand on stage as an evangelist and walk in power. But it'd be the gifts, God's gift of the Holy Spirit, that's using my job as an evangelist to authorize the power of God to heal people so they get saved. But then when I step off of the stage and now I'm just a believer, nothing shows up. Because the gifts are a gift. It didn't cost you anything. That's why you can, in your gift to be an entrepreneur, make a bunch of money and give it all to feed the poor. What does it say? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. I get to heaven. God, look what I did. Look what I did for you. And the Lord says, no, sorry. That's what I did through the gifts. Didn't cost you anything. You didn't have to fight for love. You didn't have to fight for holiness. You didn't have to fight for kindness. You didn't have to fight your will. But love costs you. There's a price of death that has to be paid for love to be developed. Love suffers long and is kind. Love is not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not require does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. There's no competition in love. It's all rejoicing. Bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love, what does it say, Pastor Dave? Love never fails. We need to make t-shirts for Pastor Dave. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. He's not talking about prophecies out in the crowd. He's talking about the gift of prophecies. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it'll vanish away. Talking about the gifts. For we know in part. In other words, we have knowledge in part because of the lack of love that we've taken the time to develop. We prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come. That's not talking about heaven. It's talking about maturity. When we become more like Him. The nature of Christ in us. When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. I won't need to be an evangelist to walk in power. I can be an accountant. When my little kid is sick, I can walk in power and rebuke that thing. Walk around your workplace and someone goes, and you say, that's my cue. I'm here to pray for you. Well, who are you? I'm a man of God. What church do you pastor? I pastor this place. You don't have to be a pulpit the pastor. I'm the pastor of my gym. Do you know that? Where I work out, people come ask me questions. marriage advice, pray for people. I'm the pastor of my hairdresser's shop. You don't have to have a pulpit to be a preacher. Anyways, now I'm getting off. I need to get back. Can I get back? When I was a child, now he's preaching here to these little apostle-like people who were thinking they were special because they walked in power. Let me just tell you something. Can I tell you something? You learn to appreciate genuineness more than the gifts after a while. You learn to appreciate a genuine person more than you appreciate what they can do for you. Maybe you've been there when someone said, "Hey, I want to do something for you, but there's an agenda behind it. Hey, I want you to come invite you to my meeting. Hey, I want to give you a word. Hey, I want to give you money, but there's an agenda behind it." Friends, family come without agendas. So does love. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. This is the model for the church. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. When you're a child, you're going to do childish things. There's a whole message in that. Don't judge yourself for your past, because when you're a child, you're going to do childish things. I'm not the person I was 20 years ago. I'm not the person I was 10 years ago. Then this verse here. For now, as a child, in other words, you haven't conquered love yet. You're still working on pursuing yourself, using your calling to satisfy your soul. For now we see in a mirror dimly. Now, as a child, because you're childish, you look in a mirror and you see dimly who you are. Because when you look in a mirror, that's what you see. Yourself. But then, when is then? This is important. When is then? It's not when you get to heaven. It's when you become mature. Then, when you have allowed that beautiful light, that nature, to overtake you and empower you to put to death the deeds of your flesh. If you asked me 20 years ago what I would be doing, I would have told you, "I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this." I had other people's dreams in me. I had other people's plans in me. I had my own ambitions in me. I was motivated to do things, to build things. And the Lord had me one by one conquer that false motivation, self-motivation, to where you don't live or do to get. Life is about loving Him and serving Him and obeying Him. See, He blesses me with my ministry. He's blessed me, everything I have, everything I own, every good thing in my life, my Father has given me.
I don't own it because I didn't earn it. It comes with responsibility. I am a steward of the things that He gives me. What a safe place to be. He wants to give these things to you. But the work that needs to be done is laying down your right and power to build it. So now, as a child, I look in the mirror. I may be walking in power. I may be giving all my goods and giving my body and prophesying and walking in power. But when I look in the mirror, I see dimly. I can't see. Why? Because there's something in the way that's blocking me from seeing me in the mirror. What is it? I clean the mirror and it's still there. Still that fog, that cloudiness is there. Oh, it's Alan. Alan is in the way. Because I look out of my spiritual eyes through my natural eyes. And then the reflection comes back. And Alan's in the way. Because childishness is part of the flesh. The tree of knowledge of good and evil wasn't just a knowledge of evil, it was the knowledge of good. The ability to do good works are not good enough. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. I can just see Apostle Paul, if he was preaching this, looking at all those apostles who were ruling over people, thinking they were special. So now we see in a mirror dimly a bunch of children. But then is not when we get to heaven. Then is a place where you allow the inner man to overtake the outward man. Choices. The high call is not the power. The power is there, but it's not the high call. Philippians, the high call is clear. I call those things as dung. The high call is laying your life down. It's a place of mortification. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, face to face, I will see the Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's who I am. God took me out of Alan Taylor and placed me with a new nature and gave me the opportunity to live on this earth and to become a man of love, but not in my own power. Not a fleshly love, a love that only can come from that nature. Now, as a child, I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. See, when He looks at you, He knows you. You don't know you yet, but He knows you. That's why it's confusing, because you're ready to get in trouble and He gives you a hug. You think He's not going to provide for you because you didn't do what you thought you were supposed to do, and He provides for you. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. I can't wait till that day when I'll know myself as He knows me. And now abide faith, hope and love. We can try to win this world in faith. We can try to win this world in hope. Love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. When you let go of your dreams, it's a process. If you keep praying in tongues, then He's going to take you into that process. Laying down your life. Whatever you let die, when He asks you to, that's called faith. And it gives Him the power to resurrect it. And then He gives it to you. Not because you're worthy, not because you earned it, because you believed Him enough to follow Him, to let go of your right, to make it come to pass. Thank You, Father. Shundoraba sitarabo kosandarabo. So let's expect it. As you kill it, expect it to be resurrected. Expect those things to come to pass. Expect those dreams to come to pass. So why don't you stand with me tonight, if you would. And in our heart, you can disagree with this prayer. Father, we give up tonight. Our life is not our own. We are not in a hurry to do things for You. Thank You. You're all that we need. You're our safety. You're our provision. You're our promotion. You're the salvation for our family. You're the hope of our calling. You are all that we need. And we give up our life. We will pursue one thing, and that is You. And we will pursue the second thing, which is Your voice and Your will for our life. We trust You with our future, with our callings. And whatever You ask of us, that's what we do. Thank You, Father. We break all fear right now of unworthiness. Jesus' name. Perfect love has cast out all fear of God. You do not need to be afraid of Him. He will not reject you. He will not abandon you. It's as much pride to say I'm not good enough as it is to say it's all because of me. Because of Him, and only because of Him. You and I are worthy to receive all that He has for us. One day we won't have to deal with this flesh. We won't have to pray in tongues. And I am sure there's no fasting going on in heaven. Hallelujah. And I got an amen from Gary. Stop looking at your flesh as who you are. Start expecting God to bless you, reward you. Expect it. Have no fear of your future if you're following Him, if you're praying. Even though you've let it go, you put that little dream of your calling in the basket like Moses' mama. And you let it go down the river and you thought, well, what am I going to do now? I just let it go. Don't worry. Because once you let it go, that's the death which equals faith for God to resurrect it. Say, hey, I got a little baby boy here. I need someone to mother. Won't cost you the price that so many have paid pursuing their dreams. So much is done in the name of God and said in the name of God that has nothing to do with God. The one person or being or that you never have to be afraid of rejecting you is Him. Because even in your struggles, He knows you for who you are, not by your flesh. Thank you, Father. There's just some more breaking that needs to go on right now. Breaking my meaning. Wanting to go across that line and I'm not ready or I'm not worthy. Or, Father, I thank You that we can receive this by Your grace right now. Jesus' name. We are not abandoned children. We have a Father who loves us and walks with us every day.